The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 31. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari. Recorded on November 2nd, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Fifth Canto, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. Text number 31. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
Che Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad Rupam Etan Nijamaya Yarpitam. Artasva rupam bahu rupa rupitam.
Artasva rupam bahu rupa rupitam.
Sankhyana yas yascha yatopalambanat.
Sankhyana yas yascha yatopalambanat.
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine. Yad rupam etan nijamaya yarpitam. Artasva rupam bahu rupa rupitam.
Artasva rupam bahu rupa rupitam.
Sankhyana yas yascha yata yatopalambanat.
Sankhyana yas yascha yatopalambanat.
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine.
Tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms visible within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virat Rupa, universal body, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Mayavadi philosophers think the universal form of the Lord to be real and His personal form illusory. We can understand their mistake by a simple example. A fire consists of three elements, heat and light, which are the energy of the fire and the fire itself. Anyone can understand that the original fire is the reality and that the heat and light are simply the fire's energy. Heat and light are the formless energies of fire, and in that sense they are unreal. Only the fire has form, and therefore it is the real form of the heat and light. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. Thus, the impersonal conception of the Lord is like the expansion of heat and light from a fire. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matstani sarvabhutani nachahan teshvavashtitaha. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material, spiritual, or marginal. But because His form is absent from the expansion of His energy, He is not personally present. This inconceivable expansion of the Supreme Lord's energy is called Achintya Shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming His devotee.
Bandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Varijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, if you want to see Krishna, you have to be a devotee. You cannot bribe your way into the spiritual sky. Bribe, paying a bribe. You cannot muster a big army and force your way into the spiritual sky. There is no material means of entering the spiritual sky. The only means is you must become a devotee of Krishna. You cannot realize the truth, the absolute truth, unless you become a devotee of Krishna. Now someone may say, but you Hare Krishna people, you're very sectarian. You say I have to realize Krishna, otherwise I won't realize the absolute truth. How you can be so narrow and dogmatic? But no, we are not being narrow and dogmatic. Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the Samam Banam, the ultimate source of all energies. So anyone who realizes the absolute truth, they must necessarily realize Krishna. In other words, if somebody knows God perfectly, they must know Krishna. Someone who has full, complete knowledge of God, they must know Krishna. Otherwise their knowledge is incomplete. It is confirmed by Sri Arjuna. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 12 and 13. Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Vabam Purusham Shashvatam Devyam Arijayvangajang Vabhung Ahushtrang Rishayasarve Devarshir Nararastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Svayam Shaiva Bravishime. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the absolute truth. You're the eternal, original personality of Godhead. The unborn, the greatest. All the great sages have confirmed this truth about you. Sages such as Narad Muni, Asita, Devala and Vyas. And now, my dear Lord, today you're revealing it to me. So it is confirmed by Arjuna. that Krishna is indeed the Absolute Truth. So, someone may say, well, why do you want to realize the Absolute Truth? Isn't money enough to be happy? Money and sex pleasure and food and a place to sleep, isn't that enough to be happy? Well, it may be satisfactory for an animal. But a human being will never be happy just with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Because as we've explained many times before, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is on the level of the body. We gave the example of Akrura's chatur. That if he simply dips his chatur in a bowl of ice cream, will he become satisfied? That, oh, this ice cream is so nice. No. He must put the ice cream in the mouth. And then he will enjoy the ice cream. So, why is that? Because he is not his chatur. There is a difference between the chatur and the person, Akrura. So, in the same way, there is a difference between the body and the self. So if you simply try to satisfy your body, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and you neglect the soul within, you're going to be miserable. As an example of one lady, she saw a beautiful birdcage in a very expensive store. Can you believe €1,000 for the birdcage? I mean, it was really beautiful. It was a work of art. So she bought that birdcage. And she was bringing it home. And she realized, my friends will make fun of me if I have a birdcage without a bird. You know. So on the way home with her new birdcage, she stopped by the pet store and got a little bird. Now this lady was more interested in the cage than she was in the bird, you see. She was so excited about her cage. And she forgot to feed that poor little bird. So the first day the bird was doing okay. He had a good breakfast at the pet store. He was doing okay. Chirp, chirp, chirp. He was doing fine. But the second day, now he's been fasting for 24 hours. Now he's getting a little weak, just like when we do the Nirjala Ekadasi, you know. You get started to feel a little weak after 24 hours with no prasadam, you know. No water, no prasadam. Get a little, start feeling a little weak, you know. So the little bird is feeling a little weak. He'd been doing Nirjala for 24 hours, you see. You see, his chirp is losing a little potency there. But then it went on for another day again, and she didn't feed him, she neglected him. And now he's really having a hard time. Is it? And after another day of not being fed water or food, on the bottom of the cage, you see. Finished. The cage was very beautiful. But that bird was dead. So, you may laugh at this little study, but we are like that stupid lady. We are taking all good care of the cage and we are neglecting the bird within, you see. Whatever the body wants, I give it. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We are very good servants of our bodies. But what about the need for the soul within to reconnect with God? Well, that's a nice idea, but, you know, later on. I have more important things to do now. No, I can, maybe later on I'll chant some rounds. Now I'm just going to sleep and eat. Maybe go to work and earn some money. And maybe later on tonight I'll chant some rounds or something, maybe, who knows. So, in this way, you see, we neglect the bird, the Atma. And there's no way we can be happy. Because we're not the body. So all your bodily service, it's bodily service, BS. Because it doesn't lead you anywhere except to a grave. I remember when I was a college student, I was trying to figure out what's the purpose of this whole thing? Why? What's the purpose of life? I was trying to figure it out. I was studying hard. I was making good grades. I was recognized as a leading student on the campus. But I was thinking, what is the purpose of this whole thing? As I explained many times before, I was thinking, well, I'm working hard to make good grades so I can get a good job, so I can get a good wife and get a good house and get some good kids and get a good grave and be buried 6 feet under. And have some good flowers placed on my grave once a year by my relatives. Don't you have a day here when they go to the graveyard? Here in Lithuania? Graveyard day? Yes. So... But then until my relatives forget about me, you see. So what's the point of this whole thing? I'm just going to be in a grave anyway. You see? But there has to be more than life. This just doesn't make sense. I'm hankering for more than this. Why is there only this? It doesn't make sense. If you think about it, that's a proof of eternality. Isn't it a fact that every one of us craves eternality? Does anybody here not crave eternality? Anybody, show of hands, anybody here doesn't want to live, keep living, or somebody would just be happy to die right now? Anybody would like to die right now? We have a knife in the kitchen. So, nobody wants to die. We all want to live. But this body is mortal. The body dies. If... Why is there a desire to live eternally if the body is only temporary? Why? Why do we have a thirst for water? Because water exists. We hanker for things which exist. I hanker for water because water exists. So, the fact that we hanker for eternality proves that eternality exists. So, since we can prove by philosophical argument that eternality exists, then we should try to figure out, okay, since it exists, how can I get it? And for that we require a bona fide spiritual master. Tadviginartam sagarum eva bigatschad. This is described in the Mundaka Upanishad. That if you want to realize that highest truth, then you must approach Guru. The form of the verb utilized in this particular shloka is called Vidhi Lin form of the verb. In Sanskrit language, it is a perfect language. Everything is perfectly organized in Sanskrit. Sanskrit means most perfect. So, in Sanskrit language, there are different verbal endings. It's like if we say, gacchati. That means he goes. And if we put an N in there and we say, gacchanti, that means they go. And if we say, gacchati, if we say, gacchat, that means must go. The same verbal root is there with different endings. So when we have the gacchat, that is the vidi lind form of the verb, and that means must. It is obligatory, compulsory. So therefore, there is no option. One must take guru. So, therefore, we have to find a spiritual master. We have to define one. You have to know what a spiritual master is. If you want to go into the gold business, become a gold merchant, then you have to know how to analyze what is genuine gold. Otherwise, if you go as a naive young kid to start your gold business, and you go to a so-called gold wholesaler to buy your stock of gold to begin your gold business, and he can see that you're a naive kid, you don't know what you're doing, he'll cheat you. He'll sell you something that is not real gold. So, if you want to be a gold merchant, you have to become expert to tell what is genuine gold. And how will you find out what is genuine gold? You have to go to a person who knows what is genuine gold. You have to be fortunate to be in the contact of a person who knows what is genuine gold. So in the same way, it requires good fortune to find out what is a bona fide spiritual master. I associated with many people who told me about so-called bona fide spiritual masters. I had a friend named Jim Gillette. And Jim told me all about his spiritual master and his mantra he had gotten from his spiritual master. So I followed Jim's advice and I took Diksha from this spiritual master. His name was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And he gave me a mantra. Aing, you see. So I was chanting my Aing mantra 20 minutes twice a day. And nothing happened. I didn't feel myself being elevated out of the miseries of material existence. I was like an airplane at the airport trying to take off the runway, not being able to lift off. I just keep running down the air, the runway, you know, aing, no lift off. Why? Sampradaya vihina ye mantashte nishpalamata. Unless the spiritual master who's giving you mantra is coming in an authorized line of succession, that mantra is not going to get you off the ground. You're going to be stuck in the muds of nature. So my friend Jim wasn't able to help me. And then he complained to me that this Swami Bhaktivedanta said that Maharishi Maya's yogi was a rascal. He was rather disturbed to hear his guru being called a rascal by Prabhupada. But actually his guru was a rascal. Because he was giving a mantra that didn't actually liberate me. He was charging money. I paid 1 month's rent for that mantra. 1 month's rent I paid for that to get initiated. You pay a fee to get initiated. The bona fide spiritual master doesn't charge an initiation fee. Okay, 1,000 euros. Sign. Give me your check right here. Then you can sit for diksha. No, diksha is given out of love. And then the disciple, out of love, he collects some dakshina, whatever he can collect, and he gives that. But it's not a set fee. That first you pay money, and then you get your diksha. But for this eyeing, I had to bring my money and pay the fee. And once the fee is paid, then I can go for my diksha. Yes. It's a business, a money-making business. So these sort of gurus, you have material motives for profit, adoration, and distinction. They cannot help us to actually become happy. Why? Because they themselves are still on the material platform. A bona fide spiritual master, he acts out of love to help the people, that's all. He doesn't try to make a business out of self-realization. Simply kindness. Loving kindness, you see. So, but later on I made another friend, his name was Vishnu Janaswami. And this wonderful sannyasi, he told me all about Prabhupada. He with such love he would talk about Prabhupada. And he himself was full of so much love. This loving kindness in so many ways. He was so sweet and so wonderful, so kind. That just by seeing this Vishnu Janaswami, I could understand how great must be his spiritual master. In Sanskrit language it is stated, palena parichyate. A thing is judged by its fruit. So when I saw the fruit of the Prabhupada tree, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, that the fruit is so sweet. What an amazing tree it must be. So I could see this Vishnu Janaswami. I want to be like that. So I will also become disciple. So I can become like Vishnu Janaswami. Completely full of swimming in bliss 24 hours a day. So this is the actual bona fide process. You have to be fortunate to come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master. Or with a person who represents the bona fide spiritual master. And by this process of connecting with the bona fide spiritual master, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktilata Bij. After wandering throughout the universe, through millions and millions of forms of life, one living entity who is very fortunate for the grace of Guru and Krishna, he gets that seed of pure bhakti planted within his heart. So, if we come in contact with bona fide Guru, then we get a seed of bhakti planted in the heart. Now, those of you who do gardening work, you know that when you plant a seed, that your business is not finished. Can you just plant a seed and let it sit there? Will you get a very nice plant if you just plant the seed and do nothing else? Will you get a very nice plant if you simply plant the seed and do nothing else? No, you must water the seed. You must weed the garden because it can choke out your little plant. The weeds, you see, can destroy that little plant. So if you will water that garden of the heart and you will pick all the weeds out of that heart, then you will become, that bhakti seed will grow into a wonderful creeper. So what is that watering process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what are the weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Keep those weeds out of your heart and water that seed at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You do this faithfully every day. That little seed of bhakti, pure bhakti planted in your heart, it will grow and grow, and Prabhupada explains it will break through the covering of the universe. And it will travel across that unlimitedly vast Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. It will go to that topmost planet, Krishna Loka. And you know what it will do? It will enwrap itself in the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Become enwrapped around the feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And then that prema phal, the fruit of love of God, will manifest. So you can, each one of us can do that. We can break through the coverings of the universe. We can become completely enwrapped in the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. We simply must accept that seed of bhakti from the bona fide spiritual master. Water that seed regularly. Keep the weeds out of the heart. And go for the most wonderful ride of your life. Back to home, back to Godhead. So, and then you will see God. So, are there any questions? Very good. All right.
Srila Gurudev, you mentioned that hankering for water
proves the existence of water.
The existence of water, and that hankering for eternality
proves the existence of eternality.
I cannot understand why hankering for material things will be wrong, because this will prove that if there is a desire.
No, I'm just saying it proves their existence. I didn't say it legitimizes them.
Klausimas yra, jeigu troškimas vandens įrodo, kad vanduo egzistuoja, ir troškimas amžinybės rodo, kad egzistuoja amžinybė, tad kodėl yra blogai trokšti materialių dalykų? Mokytojas atsako, kad tai tiesiog įrodo, kad jie egzistuoja.
Do you have any hankerings within yourself for things which are non-existent? That's the point. I wasn't trying to legitimize it. Well, I desire, you know, illicit sex, so it's okay. No, I wasn't legitimizing it. In other words, it is a crude example. Prabhupada always said, crude example. That means in some ways the points are similar, in some ways they are dissimilar. Is that clear?
Yes, almost.
Almost, okay.
Because if the desire is there and the thing is there, then it may prove that actually there is a need for this desire to be fulfilled.
Jeigu yra troškimas ir yra tai, kas gali patenkinti tą troškimą, tai kaip
for example,
gali rodyti, kad yra poreikis patenkinti tą troškimą.
For example.
For example, if I desire a new car,
mm-hmm.
and then it must exist, the car that I desire. So it would be, I don't see anything wrong to
We had if you can afford a new car, Prabhupada recommended new cars actually over buying used cars. Prabhupada recommend getting new cars, not used cars. So if you can get a new car, that's very good. You can drive me to Macedonia and to Burgas in the new car. I'll be very happy to go in your new car. no objection to that. Get one with a bigger trunk. Yeah. Next question. All right.
Žmonės gali pasakyti, kad tarkim gerai, jų netraukia, sakykim, taip, miegas, lytiniai santykiai, gynyba ir visa kita, bet pavyzdžiui, jie gali pasakyti, kad o kaip, pavyzdžiui, santykiai, gražus santykiai šeimoje, menas, kelionės, juk dėl to verta gyventi, tiesiog gyvenk ir džiaugis. Ir kitas klausimas, gerai.
Somebody would said that he is not attracted by defense, illicit sex, meat, eating or intoxication.
He's not attracted by him.
But he is attracted by art, he is attracted by good relationship, he is attracted by some music.
Okay.
Traveling.
What was the last item?
Traveling.
Traveling, okay. Well, you can have all of those things in Krishna consciousness. We have the best artwork. We have the best music, and I think we have some facility for traveling also. I mean, you should see my passport. I have so many stamps in it, and when I go to the borders, it takes them an hour to find the stamp, you know. We have great facility for traveling here. So those, you can have all of those things in Krishna consciousness. The best music, the best relationships. I mean, I have so many wonderful, loving relationships all over the world. I can never imagine I could ever have these before I was a devotee. Anything else?
Yes.
Music, relationships. What about good food?
Wow.
So, somebody could say that this is enough. Why we need Krishna consciousness? It's enough only these things.
I see. If you want to travel, well, I can tell you, traveling without Krishna consciousness is, it may appear to be very nice for a while, but it will become very miserable after a while. And you may have to say, well, I'm going to get me a big collection of all the best music, you know. I'm going to get the Beatles. I'm going to get a big gig collection of CDs. I'm just going to enjoy music all day long, you know. Well, how long can you go on enjoying all that music? This is called happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning, it appears very nice. But after a while, it just loses its flavor. It's just... It's like there was an old pop song back in the 60s that says, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? In other words, panak panas charvata charvananam, we say in Sanskrit. Yeah, go ahead. You couldn't translate them. Chewing gum, you know? Somebody chews the gum all day long, you see. They think, this is such good chewing gum, I don't want to waste it. So they put it on their, when they sleep, they put it on, the, on their bedpost before they take rest. So you want to get up the next morning and take it off the bedpost and put it back in and keep chewing it, see? But that chewing gum loses its flavor after a while. It becomes tasteless. So you may want to have, enjoy mundane music, you see. But after a while, all the flavor is gone. You may want to enjoy mundane relationships. But after a while, the flavor is gone. You may get all excited to go see the Eiffel Tower. But it's just a piece of metal. All it is. What kind of rust you can get? You know, Eiffel Tower rust. Ah. You see? You can travel to the Grand Canyon, the Big Ben, the Taj Mahal. I've been to India about maybe 20 times and never been to the Taj Mahal. So, you know, there's no rust in these things. There's simply rust. So, in this way, you may think you can enjoy these things. But that pleasure is rajasic, sir. That pleasure is rajasic. Sir. Sir is a respectful title. Sir. I don't know what you say in Lithuanian, but... that all that happiness will turn into poison because it is not connected to the reservoir of pleasure. Not connected with the reservoir of pleasure. Any pleasure you try to enjoy which is separated from Krishna is only temporary. Just like, if you try to enjoy the cooling effect of a fan that is not connected with a powerhouse, how long can you enjoy it? If it, as soon as it's disconnected from the powerhouse, that means it's slowing down to a stop. It may have some previous momentum. But if as soon as it's disconnected with the powerhouse, that means it will come to a stop very soon. So I may try to enjoy relationships, music, traveling, and art. And they appear to have some pleasure because they are coming from Krishna originally. But if you try to enjoy them separately from Krishna, very soon they will become tasteless. So we recommend, sir, that you should go for your art, music, travel, and relationship pleasure in Krishna consciousness. Because in Krishna consciousness, they become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The more I travel all over the world for preaching, the more I like it. It gets sweeter all the time. The more I develop relationships with devotees all over the world, the more it becomes nectarian. I relish Krishna conscious art more and more and more the more I look at it. It never gets old. It never gets hackneyed or boring. So in this way, if you want those pleasures, fine. Do it. Take those pleasures in such a way that they will never lose their taste. That is the science of Krishna consciousness. How to enjoy perfectly. Yes?
Isn't that such pleasure without Krishna consciousness is a bondage? Isn't that material pleasures we enjoy without Krishna consciousness is a bondage?
Yes. That's right.
Tai reiškia, kad šitie malonumai, kuriais mes mėgojame, atskirai nuo Krišnos, tai yra pančiai.
Any pleasure you try to enjoy separately from Krishna means you are trying to be the enjoyer. And you're not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Trying to enjoy separately from Krishna means you're a thief. You're a ravana. And you will be punished. That's a fact. Ravana tried to enjoy Sita. He thought he was going to have a good time with Sita. But things didn't quite work out according to Ravana's plan. He was destroyed by Lord Ram, you see. So for those who want to defy the laws of God, Mrityu Sarvaharash Chaham, I am all devouring death, Krishna says. Kalosmi Lokachaya Krit, time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. They don't want to bow down to God voluntarily. They'll be forced to bow down at the time of death. That's right. Next question.
То хотів би протести. Бо якщо ти дійснює пасовлю культуру з історії і пасовлю мену історії, і ти дійснює без коню, то й варко студентам згадати потікати те, як аж дійсно. Аж і є аж дійсно Європа з мена, що тю її міліти і з дичівлю з коню і так, перті ті студенти. Чи от курі ратас, от, аж кі колбу пі мена, що слика колбу, як висот мена, бо курямас вішпаті шлові.
If I am teaching the art, Europe art for students.
Tell me.
If I am teaching art.
Art.
History of Europe art.
Mm-hmm.
And I am doing it with how taste, so students will not take it. So I have to do it with taste.
No, if for one's livelihood, one is an art teacher. That is all right. One has to earn a living. That is part of the duty. One has to make one's livelihood. So if one is teaching, if her livelihood is an art teacher, then he should do it with great enthusiasm. And because he's offering the fruit of his work to Krishna, then he becomes happy in that, even though it's mundane, because it's offered to Krishna, it becomes happy for him. Any other question?
You mentioned about this weeds in our heart.
Weeds, yes.
And you mentioned this four.
Yes.
But we have more than this.
Yes.
So how to take care of these weeds?
The biggest weeds are the illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. But there are other weeds as well, just like offending Vaishnavas, considering the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. In this way, one has to take care of all the weeds. That's a fact. One has to be very expert to see.
But this is how to do.
How do you do?
Yeah.
Well, each weed has its particular method of being. There's a particular method of counteracting each type of weed. Just like the weed of pride, how do you counteract it? By developing humility. The greatest enemy of all, Vaishnava Aparad, how do you counteract that one? By always worshipping the devotees. So every weed has its counteracting method. Just like the Kshatriyas on the battlefield, they had all kinds of mystic weapons. One Kshatriya, he would throw a mystic weapon. And the other Kshatriya, he will throw a counteractive mystic weapon. So in this way, the devotee has many mystic weapons to counteract the attack of these weeds. So he can protect himself from every type of weed. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. Devotee becomes like an expert kshatriya. He can counteract every type of attack of the material energy, counteract every one of them. The expert devotee, he is undefeatable by Maya. He can never be defeated. Any other questions?
Kom skiriasi mantra, kurie duoda dvasinis mokytojas, ir mantra, kurie, pavyzdžiui, mes skatinam kitus kartuoti gatvėse, ar tai yra tas pats ar ne, nes sakoma, kad mantra reikia gauti iš dvasinio mokytojo, bet jeigu įsidavęs dar yra neįsidiotas, tai galvasi, kad jis dar tiesiog tas mantras negavo.
It is said that we should get mantra from spiritual master.
Yeah.
What is the difference when we get mantra from spiritual master and we ourselves not initiated but giving mantra to people? What is the difference?
Well, the thing is, in this movement, the mantra is coming from Prabhupada. So the mantra has potency. And when you go on Harinam Sankirtan, you're giving the greatest blessing to the people of this city. We have the pure mantra because Prabhupada has given to our movement. This movement has the pure mantra. So go on distributing this mantra to everyone. We are simply Prabhupada's servants, that's all. The greatest of the pure devotees, he has given this mantra. And we are we are simply Prabhupada's DHL men, that's all. He is the supplier of the mantra, and we are the deliverers of the mantra to everyone. Go on Harinam Sankirtan. Distribute these books. Tell your friends to chant Hare Krishna. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. See, this is our method. We want to educate the whole world. So if we go on spreading this Krishna consciousness, then the whole world will become transformed. We will see, if we go on spreading this Krishna consciousness, we will witness before our very eyes the greatest spiritual renaissance in the history of the world. So you should be very enthusiastic to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. Okay. Alright, so we'll stop here. Tonight's lecture, everyone is invited. It will be in Klaipėda. And then tomorrow I'll be giving class here again. So we thank you very much for your participation in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Kantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.